Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
I always loved it when, in the military anyway, in basic training, when they would want us to do something, we knew exactly what was coming up if they told us we're going to do this by the numbers. I always liked that. And, you know, first of all, you have disgraced and fired former FBI Director Jim Comey. He's going to have his day in court. Letitia James has been indicted on bank fraud charges. John Bolton may soon be indicted for illegally retaining classified documents. John Brennan might find himself on the dock for the same time, or the same thing. And notoriously dumb yes man James Clapper is under criminal investigation. Christopher Wray has been accused of lying to Congress regarding the number of plainclothes agents on January 6th. Other well-known names being scrutinized for criminal prosecution. So as each shoe drops, the corporate news media shriek about Trump going after his political enemies and directly involving himself in Department of Justice charging decisions. Like that's not a thing. Like that's illegal. Now, I myself, if I were a journalist, which I am not, I might also wonder how former chiefs within the political or within the intelligence community could be considered political enemies if they weren't performing their duties in a political manner. That's pretty obvious. And that's, you know, it's never asked. And instead, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Wray, and the other former powerful officers within the administrative state are described as if they acted at all times selflessly and for the good of the country. And they want to portray the members of the permanent government as being above politics. Because if you understand them to be just as political as a member of Congress, then voters might start to wonder why such a vast, unelected administrative state is allowed to exist at all. Then the financial and the media elites who control the fake stream press constantly convey to the public the unconstitutional idea that the heads of the important departments and agencies act unilaterally and independently. They love to pretend, and this is absolutely fantasy, they love to pretend that the head of the FBI and the head of the DOJ do not answer to the president. They pretend the CIA and the U.S. military operate autonomously from the White House. They desperately work to convince you that unelected bureaucrats are entitled to have this tremendous power all the time without any sort of check and balance. None of those things are that way, though. Article 2 of the Constitution lays the foundations of the executive branch, and the first sentence of the first section is specific. The executive power shall be vested in the President of the United States of America. So much like a deputy sheriff, right? A deputy sheriff is an extension of the sheriff, but the sheriff, in the end, is the one calling the shots. When the deputy sheriff goes out there, he takes with him the power of the sheriff, right? As do these other heads of departments in the executive branch. Now, the first sentence of the second section defines the president's authority over the military. The president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into the actual service of the United States. So, all this power resides with the president. And every executive employee, from the cabinet secretary to the parking attendant, they all act as a delegated beneficiary of the president's executive power. So it is the President of the United States, not the Attorney General, who is the chief law enforcement officer of the federal government. If Trump wanted to exercise prosecutorial power, he could try cases in federal court. When the federal prosecutors enforce the law in courtrooms across the country, they are empowered to do so only because they're acting on the behalf of the president, at the behest of the president, at the pleasure of the president. Not because they're groovy cool. When corporate news publications pretend that federal prosecutors are entitled to act independently from the White House, they are on purpose and willfully disregarding the U.S. Constitution and trying to make you believe in this illegitimate form of government. So, as a simple thought experiment, okay, just play around. Consider what it would mean if senior officials in the DOJ were exclusively empowered to decide how to enforce the law. This would mean an unethical attorney such as Andrew Weissman would be in a position to tell the President of the United States what he can and cannot do. It would give government lawyers, whose executive authority comes directly from the office of the President, more authority than the President. This would rewrite the first sentence of the first section of Article 2. Now, we saw this in Trump's first term, during the run-up. Right, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, they conspired with the intelligence community and the White House officials to frame Trump as a spy. Then FBI Director Jim Comey knew that these allegations were false. A corrupt law enforcement officer used this frame-up as leverage against Trump the following year. Then you had conniving career bureaucrats in the Justice Department. They convinced Jeff Sessions to recuse himself from all investigations involving the manufactured Russia collusion hoax. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. Trump eventually fired serial liar Comey and career bureaucrat and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein in his capacity as acting Attorney General, and he appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller as a special counsel responsible for investigating the Democrat-constructed Russia collusion hoax. But Mueller was suffering from some form of dementia. So unethical government prosecutor Andrew Weissman effectively ran a two-year harassment campaign whose purpose was to impeach Trump and remove him from office. And during that time, Weissman effectively held more power than the President of the United States. Now, during all of this, when all of this was happening at any time, Trump could have put an end to all of this. He could have fired his attorney general and his deputy attorney general. He could have fired Mueller and Weissman. He could have concluded the whole affair and moved on. But Paul Ryan was in charge of the House, as you remember, and there's a lot of pressure from Congress for him to let it run its course. Ryan and the other congressional rhinos even suggested that Trump could be impeached or would be impeached if he did not permit the manufactured investigation to proceed. So Trump tried to keep the peace, and he essentially gave corrupt lawyer and staunch Democrat Andrew Weissman control of the presidency. This time around, Trump has learned. This time around, he's learned not to worry about the yes man. He's not looking for the yes man. Trump is running a unitary executive branch, which every president should run, good or bad. And I don't know. The buck always stops with the president, not with the bureaucrats. Bureaucrats who execute all of this stuff on a regular basis, nobody ever holds them to blame, but they're actually the ones doing it. And corporate news publications insist it should be the other way around, have no interest in protecting the Constitution. They're looking to undermine it. This peace deal, well, the Democrats, they have an opinion on who actually put it together. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Now, this deal that is between Israel and Gaza was brought to you by Donald Trump. Donald Trump alone. But this is politics. So everybody wants to tack on to this and say, yeah, we did some too. Especially the Democrats, because they're always sore losers. Because Trump has done what everyone said couldn't be done. Right now, at this moment, as we speak, he has ended the war in Gaza by supporting Israel in the fight. And a lot of people are completely incapable of acknowledging that achievement. Instead, they're pretending that it happened without Trump or that they had something to do with it. Which brings us first and foremost to the Lightbringer. Of course, it was Barack Obama's staggeringly ungracious celebration of the ceasefire, something he managed to do without once mentioning either the man who made it possible, that being Trump and Netanyahu. He got on X, which, hey, good for you, Barack. After 2 years of unimaginable loss and suffering for Israeli families and people of Gaza, we should all be encouraged and relieved that an end to the conflict is within sight. That those hostages still being held will be reunited with their families, and that vital aid can start reaching those inside Gaza whose lives have been shattered. More than that, though, it now falls on Israelis and Palestinians, with the support of the U.S. and the entire world community, to begin the hard task of rebuilding Gaza, and to commit to a process that, by recognizing the common humanity and basic rights of both peoples, can achieve a lasting peace. The Italians call this kind of word salad fried air. This is a new thing. See, once again, this is example number 5,113 of why I should never be in charge of anything. if somebody came to me and said, you have to help me rebuild the country that you blew up because we attacked you, I'd be like, yeah, sure enough, buddy. Sure enough. This is puffy babble of a politician, has no meaning, and it's just filled with a bunch of stupid platitudes which mean nothing. It would have been better if he just gotten on there and did one whole paragraph of blah, 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 blah. But see, that was just some stupid fried air, puffy babble, right? If you thought that was bad, well, there's more. Turns out that the reason that there's now a ceasefire with the possibility of peace is because Joe Biden and his stellar team of Antony Blinken put it all together. So, Antony Blinken on X said it's good that President Trump adopted and built on the plan the Biden administration developed. And I think it ends. It starts with a clear and comprehensive post-conflict plan for Gaza. It's good that President Trump adopted and built on the plan with after months of discussion with Arab partners, Israel, and the Palestinian Authority. It centers on temporary transitional authorities for Gaza's governance, security, humanitarian assistance, and rebuilding, led by Arab and international partners alongside Palestinians, backed by the United States, and ultimately handed over to a full Palestinian control. Now, Joe Biden's plan was a slow walk of weapons to the Israelis, blocking them from bringing the war to a clean and swift end. He built a pier that washed away in a few hours and killed one American in the process. And throughout his tenure, Hamas believed they could win. And if Biden were still in charge, or if, you know, that's hard to imagine right now. If he were still in charge, Israel would have been worn down, they would have been starved of weapons, and the target of ever-escalating world anti-Semitism. The Biden peace plan would have seen the hostages dead. They would have seen Hamas more powerful than ever, and Iran on the verge of being nuclear. Most likely, October 7th would never have happened if that weak man hadn't been in office. On X, Miranda Devine reminds us of Biden's and Blinken's foreign policy successes. She put, how pathetic from this inept failure as a Secretary of State whose only job was, he only got the job because he sucked up to Joe Biden for years and did favors for his crackhead son. This is the ineffectual toady who sat mute as Chinese officials yelled at him and disrespected America. They also covered up his boss's obvious cognitive decline, simped with the Europeans in the hope that they would accept him as one of them, presided over the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, helped his boss make every conflict in the world worse, stalled his childhood friend from their Parisian school, Robert Malley, as Iran's special envoy, only to see the guy stripped of his security clearance, suspended, and investigated for mishandling classified information, a mystery which still has not yet been explained. So, yeah, take credit for what Trump achieved in 8 months after your 4 years of humiliation on the world stage. Nobody buys it. But this inability to acknowledge Trump's genius is not limited here. In Australia, the hard-left Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, who also wanted to get to the head of the parade. Throughout the war, Albanese and his foreign minister constantly hectored Israel to withdraw from the fight and leave Hezbollah and Iran alone. And under his leadership, Australia recognized an imaginary state of Palestine, a putative nation without any infrastructure or economy, run by terrorists and dedicated to Israel's destruction, as did nations such as the UK, Canada, Belgium, and France. But that was a really bad horse to back. So he's trying to get in front of the peace parade. And he proudly announced that Australia will, of course, always play our role, be it just supporting as we have, supporting this peace process going forward. Albanese, like the guy who drops out of the marathon and gets on a taxi and then jumps out near the finish line and claims he won. But then again, all these leftists are always sleazes. They are the people who, by hook or crook, did everything they could to ensure that Israel lost the war or that the war would drag on forever. And now the wonderful, iconoclastic, and quite unique president, whom they all despise, worked with Netanyahu to change the game. And now they get to, you know, they get to pretend like they're the winners. Yeah. They're always pretending that they're the winners. Chicago Police Department. They're covered now in nothing but lies and dishonor. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Matthew in Liberty. Yes, sir.
Yes, I was just calling to see if y'all were going to have the free speech event that y'all are going to be at later. Is that going to be available on your website later? Because I'm not going to make the event tonight, so I was just wondering if I could watch it later.
I don't know. So it starts at 6:45. So
yeah,
it won't actually be a remote because Charlie's going to be one of the moderators there. Tara's the other one, and it won't actually be a remote. So I don't know if there's anybody planning on actually recording it there locally, unless possibly the 4th District Republican Club might do that.
Okay, so if I want to listen to it, I just got to listen to it on y'all's, like, through here, right?
Well, it's not going to be broadcast live because it's not.
Oh, okay. I
believe you. That's okay. In the middle of a. Who is that? Levin show. Starts right before the beginning of the Levin show, yes.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I can figure out if I can get off work early if I can go.
Well, I mean.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks.
Interesting text here, because I was just talking about Israel-Gaza, and I get this text, and I find it interesting. Why do Bibles with illustrations pre-1914 show the Holy Land all throughout a much larger Palestine and no mention of Israel on the map? Well, there was no Israel prior to 1948, as far as I know, as named as such. And that's item number one. But item number two is this. So why don't we go back to when all of the continents were one big supercontinent? I'm going to play the game. If there are Bibles out there, which I've never seen one pre-1914, I don't know why we're that specific about it, but I've never seen a pre-1914 Bible with illustrations that shows the Holy Land all throughout a much larger Palestine. My biggest supposition I can make based upon the text is that this should never have changed. And why would it never have changed? Wars come and go and borders move. And sometimes whole countries go away. They do. It's no fun. It's no fun, but I just got to wonder about that. Why bring that particular thing up? If you don't like Israel, okay, I understand that. Lots of people don't. Lots of people don't. As a matter of fact, I put up a video. I put up a video the other day of a Smash My Trash. I went and watched somebody smash my trash. And one of the people that commented on the video that I posted on Facebook got out there and said, I'm completely in the bag for the Zionists. I only talk about Antifa. I don't dare get out because I'm completely subservient to the Jews. This is the thinking of the left. If you, texter, if you out there are not a member of the left, you should call in and tell me. I don't mind being wrong about things. In fact, I would prefer to be wrong. But if you're out there and you're trying to be cleverly provocative and say, why do Bibles with illustrations pre-1914 show the Holy Land all throughout a much larger Palestine? Who was in charge of Palestine when that was happening? Who are the past presidents or prime ministers or premiers or ayatollahs of Palestine? When has Palestine ever been a recognized country besides recently? I mean, I'll wait. Give me the names. I have a pen and paper right here. I just got a nice new Kawiko fountain pen. Love writing with it. Love to write the names down. But it's going to be a short list, isn't it? It's going to be a short list because I only go with one kind of history, which is factual. I'm going to be honest with you. I quite frankly don't. I don't understand all the animus with of things that most people never have any real experience with. One time when I first started in all of this, and this is when I first got into radio, and my whole thing about Israel was just the time that I had trained with them in Europe with the IDF. I was asked if I thought Israel was an ally. And I said, sure. I thought they were an ally. And then everybody there, this was in Colombia, everybody there was out there and they were pointing to me like, oh, he's one of those. He's one of those. And then they took me in the back and they had this gigantic operation set up where they would burn DVDs for you so you could see all the various ways and means that that wasn't the case. And it just, you know, I looked at this and I was just wondering, what exactly is the dog in the fight here? Now, I can tell you this. If we had to put boots on the ground in the Middle East, everybody would be loving them some Israel. Because the Islamic fundamentalists, everything about them is deception. So they're lying to you the whole time. It's nearly as bad as the Vietnamese and the Viet Cong. During the Vietnam War, you'd have Viet Cong that were in the village where your control base was and everything else. And at night, when it was all done and it was darker and everything, the Viet Cong would be they'd be coming in because they knew everything. Now, as I sit here and I see, I understand this. See, here in the United States, we have solved a lot of really hard problems. We have solved a lot of really hard problems. We are still, like it or not, the preeminent superpower on the planet. Yeah, there's China, but most of the stuff that China has in the military is untested. And that says a lot. They might have a bunch of theoretical weapons out there that might even be better than what we've got. But everything about what they build seems to be substandard. So you can build a really glossy fifth generation fighter, and if it can't stay up there, I mean, even with the aircraft carriers, they don't have catapults. So they have to burn extra fuel just to get airborne. So that decreases their range. I mean, it's that those kind of things. But because we have done all the hard things, we seem to be hell-bent on imagining other problems to consider. Just makes me wonder. It just makes me wonder. And I, you know, that wondering part about it, I just, but you know what? Let's take another look at the Middle East just to, you know, just to lay this to rest for all of those out there that seem to think that, you know, there's actually a Palestine. Let's look at that by the numbers. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. One of the things that is not being talked about much is that Hamas has been very severely marginalized. They are facing possible extinction at the moment. And this is partly because of the result of the Israeli program of strategic decapitation, and partly the result of the festering animus of the Hamas brutal treatment of its own people, and they have generated. Meanwhile, back in the U.S. of A., the Democrat Party is going through a similar political collapse. And that's being showcased by the implosion of California's thuggish governor wannabe, Katie Porter. And by Virginia's death-threatening AG-in-waiting Jay Jones. And unlike Hamas, the Democrats have simply run out of talent. And the dregs at the bottom of the barrel will mostly never be ready for prime time. And that's no coincidence, because there's something that drove them this way. A certain catalyst has been behind both phenomena, and his name spelled T-R-U-M-P. Political establishments have long cultivated their own players, and they're always uncomfortable and then always unready for a capable outsider that might step in and begin to upset the various apple carts. And these two declines, the coupling of these two declines, has at least something to do with the similar tactics they both use. At the front of the line is fear. Hamas uses Jew hatred, largely exerted from the protocols of the Elders of Zion, and if you let them, the Jews will eat your babies. Among other things, the Democrats continue to beat on the drum of the obvious hoax of human-caused climate catastrophe. During one of her particularly thuggish rants, the very feminine Katie Porter claimed with absolute certitude that many thousands will die from air pollution and bad weather if automobiles are not soon all electric. That 60% of electricity is generated by fossil fuel combustion plus 20% from nuclear fission is conveniently left out in that particular conversation. Now, they are less vicious and lethal in their endeavors, but the woke Dems are just as eager to exert control over their subjects as is Hamas. Because here we are, here, stateside, witnessing a ramping up of political violence against almost entirely on behalf of the American left. And all the while, the Democrat thugs are trying to stand in the way of Trump's efforts to rein in urban crime. The quick pacification of D.C. remains an example of how uncomplicated this necessary function can be. And yet the Democrat Hamas-like thugs are more than eager to obstruct the protection of their innocent constituents. Another disturbing link between Hamas and Democrats is one of their they share one cheerleader, the media. The media. For those of you asking about the event with Alan Wilson, that will be live streamed. You'll be able to live stream it. I think it'll be on Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. I'll get clarification on that in just a minute. Now, for years, it has been widely known that Hamas, along with the PLO, used the cover of Israeli retaliation in order to summarily execute their targeted opponent among their civilian population. And this is the explanation of their limited political success. It was largely accomplished at the point of a gun. So, suffice to say that Trump's blossoming popularity is largely due to alternate views and to alternate news sources, many being online. Otherwise, if there were not alternatives to this, then rampant urban crime would be normal, and perceived inflation would really be caused by greedy retailers, and the invasive immigration into the U.S. from the south of the border and elsewhere would be a humanitarian necessity. But the fact of the matter is this: with this peace process that's in there, this is a chance for Hamas to become legitimate, Whether they will or not will be entirely up to them. And if they don't, if they decide to get kinetic again, it'll be a while from now because they have to reconstitute. This is the thing that I disagree with this on. I don't think they should be given a chance to reconstitute. I have nothing against any Arab or any Muslim, but if they are fundamental Islamics and they want to go the Hamas way, then they better hope the Hamas way doesn't lead to their extinction. But the bigger problem is that the Gazans, the Gazans are absolutely, they're basically hostages, right? You know, some of the ones that have tried to get away, they shoot them in the back. Another text. Okay. So, anyway. It's amazing. When you start looking at the left and you start looking at the Islamics, you see the same template laying there in place. You see the same template laying there in place. But that's okay. We're on to that one. A lot of people asking the question, will there ever be a requiem for what happened in 2024 to the Democrats? And my biggest question about that is, who gives a rip? This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.